This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. A bit later in the program, AIDS vaccine research at the NIH and making experimental cancer vaccines in plants. But first, what's your spleen good for anyway? Do you know that? Do you know what happens in your spleen? There's the expression venting your spleen at someone. But until relatively recently, the organ wasn't thought of as that important, just a reservoir for extra blood in your body. We know that it plays a role in the immune system, filtering out blood cells, old blood cells, and performing other immune tasks. But new work published this week in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences says that the spleen may provide a connection between the brain, between your nervous system and the immune system. That nerve connections from the brain could allow one to influence the other. Joining me now to talk about this is one of the researchers on the project, Mauricio Rosas Ballina. He's a scientist in the Laboratory of Medical Science at the Feinstein Institute for Medical Research in Manhasset, New York. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you very much, Ira. I'm really happy to be in the program.
I'm happy to have you here. Let's talk about, give us an idea where the ABCs of the spleen. What is it? Where does it reside? What does it do?
So the spleen is an organ. It's a lymphoid organ that is located in the abdomen. You can find the spleen in the upper left quadrant of the abdomen. And as you said before, the spleen has several functions. One of them is it works as a blood reservoir, but it is also associated with the cleaning of certain particles. Mm-hmm. For example, red blood senescent red blood cells. And it's also involved in other immune functions that have to do with combating infections.
Mm-hmm. Now, what made you think and look into the idea that there could be a connection between the brain and the spleen?
Well, the story goes like 10 years ago, and it's not my story. It's the story of Dr. Kevin Tracy, who is the head of the lab. What he was trying to follow was a way in which these two organs were communicating, that is the brain and these two systems were communicating, the brain and the immune system. In this lab, we are trying to figure out how to deal with diseases such as sepsis. So we're trying to come with novel approaches. In the process of trying to figure out one of these ways, what people before in this lab realized that when you put drugs in the brain, in experimental models of sepsis, you would find that these drugs acting in the brain would be suppressing inflammation in the periphery. So that suggested that there would be a connection between the brain and some place in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So then came experiments in which we were selectively sectioning different nerves, and turned out that the vagus nerve was an important part between this communication between the brain and the immune system. Later on, we continued doing some more experiments, and then we found that by taking out the spleen, we were reversing this protective effect that stimulating that this drug had. And that's how we come up with this connection between the brain and the spleen.
And it's connected by that vagus nerve.
That's right. Actually, the work that we're publishing that's been published already is what it's telling is that there's a connection between the brain and the spleen. So if you can imagine a map of the brain being in the top of the map, you have the brain that is sending information through the vagus nerve, which then communicates through the splenic nerve, and that sends the final information to the spleen.
Mm-hmm. And how did you actually realize the importance of this pathway? Does the brain through the vagus nerve influence directly the spleen to do something?
Well, the way in which our models work is the following: you have a disease model, an experimental model of disease. You know that it is, let's say, this model is associated with a certain mortality, and we have come up with ways to stimulate the vagus nerve. So what we do is we stimulate electrically the vagus nerve, and then we see that this effect is associated with increasing survival.
Hmm. So by stimulating the vagus nerve, the animal survives longer.
That's right. And this is how we can determine, we can proceed and do experiments to figure out which is the pathway that leads to.
And that then is related to the immune system of the animal.
That's right. What we have found is that there are some cells in the spleen. The name are macrophages. And these macrophages are producing certain molecules, which are called cytokines. Specifically, there is a cytokine called TNF, which stands for tumor necrosis factor, which can be deleterious in certain diseases. So what we have found is that when you stimulate electrically the vagus nerve, there is downregulation of the production of these cytokines, and that leads to improved survival.
So you help boost the immune system by stimulating the vagus nerve, goes to the spleen. It says to me then that we've discovered one of these, you know, the foundation possibly for the idea that our nervous system does help regulate immunity, our thoughts, things like that.
Yes. Let me try to clarify something. In our model, what we are doing is actually we are turning down the production of these cytokines, which we understand as cytokines that are actually producing harm by increasing inflammation in your body. Mm-hmm. So by stimulating the nerve, we are kind of dampening that response. But you're right. I mean, we are basically modulating the immune system by modifying or intervening in the nervous system.
Mm-hmm. So what other kinds of diseases then, besides sepsis that you studied, might be influenced?
Well, I mean, up to now, there are, like, we have several models of disease. For example, we have found that by following this technique, you can improve survival in, for example, hemorrhagic shock. You can also find improved survival in the models of pancreatitis. And, I mean, the options are out there, and let's see if we can include more diseases into the list.
Mm-hmm. I have a question here from Second Life Lore. Says so your digestion may be connected with your immune system. I guess that's a question.
I mean, you know, the brain is governing several functions in your body. You have not only networks that go from the brain to the periphery, but you also have afferent, that is sensitive fibers that are collecting information from the periphery to the brain. So, yeah, there may be a way in which we, for the digestion, information coming from digestion is coming to the brain, and then this information is coming down to the immune system to modify, to modify it.
Let's go to the phones. David in Aspen. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ira.
Hi there.
I'm a survivor of a hematological cancer. And at one point during my treatments, my doctor recommended a splenectomy.
Removal of your spleen.
Correct, yeah. Because of increased platelets. Mm-hmm. Wondering, since I chose not to proceed with that, how that might affect, how it might have affected my immune system.
Right, Dave, thanks.
Well, the answer to the question is difficult to address. There's obviously a very well documented increase in susceptibility to infections, specifically to infections to Streptococcus pneumoniae, if you don't have a spleen. Based on this discovery of the spleen and the brain communicating with each other, we really haven't figured out what's the implications of not having a spleen in terms of this communication between the brain and the spleen. So it's difficult to answer that question in terms of if your brain is going to be able to work properly to modify immune functions that happen in the spleen.
What kinds of things going on in your brain affect the vagus nerve? I mean, I'm trying to think of if you do yoga, if you do Tai Chi or some sort of thing, does that work to your vagus nerve and stimulate it?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, there are some studies that make an association between different types of mental states or therapies that include like biofeedback. These studies, what they have found is that there's a connection between, that there's an increase in vagus nerve activity while you perform these activities. And on the other hand, we also found that there are some diseases, inflammatory diseases, that are associated with a decrease in the activity of vagus nerve. So this kind of suggests that if you can somehow, with these kind of exercises, biofeedback, you can increase the activity of the vagus nerve, you can probably, hopefully, modify in some way your immune system.
Are there any nutrients you can take that would increase this activity of your spleen or the vagus nerve?
Not that I know at this moment. There are some drugs that we're trying to develop that try to target several aspects of this pathway. And we're trying to figure out if these drugs, either as a compound, you know, that you can get in through medicines or through natural nutrients, can somehow act on cells of the immune system in which the pathway is working to modify and modulate immune responses.
Mm-hmm. And what is your next step now? Where would you like to take your research next?
Well, one part that's really interesting is that the spleen is a place where you have several types of immune cells. You have macrophages, as I said before.
Those are white blood cells?
These are white blood cells, yeah. White blood cells can be divided in macrophages, monocytes, and lymphocytes.
Right.
But since there are other cell types in the spleen, we can probably try to modify other immune functions that are associated with those cell types, for example, antibody production and probably modulation to the response of other infectious diseases.
Mm-hmm. This would also argue that if we hear so many people who have car accidents or whatever, and they've had their spleens removed for injury, would it not argue that surgeons should try to save the spleen now as much as they can, rather than remove it?
Well, the indications for removing the spleen are very clear, and there are some situations in which it's necessary to mm-hmm. do it. You know, otherwise, you'll have a huge hemorrhage, and this is going to be ending up very badly. The fact that we have discovered this pathway would probably go back and try to study what's happening with these patients that don't have a spleen, and in terms of their modification of their immune system by the nervous system. Mm-hmm. And if there's a change in that can be prevented by not doing the spleen, then there's going to be some serious stuff to be done to determine what's best to do.
And I guess there would be more research that we'd like to see into what other kinds of mental processes affect the vagus nerve.
Yeah, definitely, yes. I think for example, it would be interesting to know if, depressive states are modifying how your immune system is working through this pathway, for example.
Mm-hmm. Do you know that research is going on in that field at all?
At least not in our group. I know some other groups that are starting to do these kind of questions, and soon hopefully they'll have answers.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to go from here to do what? Next step for you?
Well, we're trying to figure out the exact mechanism in the spleen. So we're reducing our, let's say, scope of study to spleen, and we're going to probably try to figure out the exact mechanism by which, you know, neurotransmitters released by nerves in the spleen are affecting cells in the spleen.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
And thank you for taking time to be with us today.
My pleasure.
Dr. Mauricio Rosas-Bellina, a scientist in the Laboratory of Medical Science at the Feinstein Institute for Medical Research, that's in Manhasset, Long Island.